Hey everyone, my name is Keaton. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here. We want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you're blessed by today's message.
Good morning, church. For those who do not know me, my name is Joshua Peterson. I'm the student director here at Holly, which means I oversee the 6th through 12th grade students. I've been here for almost a year, and it's been a huge blessing to be able to just see what the Lord does in students. And I'm really excited about it, and I'm really passionate about it. If I've never met you, hey, I would love to meet you after the gathering. Since after Easter, we have been going through our Psalms series. Something I love about the Psalms series is that it showcases that God can handle our emotions. Whether that is emotions like anger, frustration, sorrow, fear, or emotions like hope, joy, peace, and sense of comfort. When we go through hard things and feel the weight of our emotions, God is there. Or when we go through joyful and exciting moments in our lives, good times in our life, God is also still there. A psalm that we're going through this morning is Psalm 46. This psalm is a psalm of encouragement. Church, I'm excited to be encouraged along with you this morning as we go through it, dive in. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord, thank you for today. Today is a good day because the gospel is true. Jesus, you're no longer dead, but you are alive. And you have paid for our penalty for sin. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray as us believers, Lord, as we dive into your word, Lord, I pray you just help us be encouraged. Life gets hard. We go through difficult times, but Lord, you are here. So Lord, I pray that you just encourage us. I pray that you comfort us this morning. And I pray you just give us a passion just to run towards you more and more each and every day. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so before we go through any passage of scripture, I believe it's important to understand the context of the passage. Before we read it, I want to just give you a little bit of context of Psalm 46. If you flip to Psalm 46, most translations will have a heading attached to the psalm. So right before verse 1, it writes, "To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song." All right, so the first thing it writes is to a choir master, or to the choir master. A choir master is basically, if you were to compare it to our modern times, it was like our worship director, worship leader. So the Israelites would worship in song just outside the temple or in the temple, and the choir master would be given a song to be used in public worship. This heading shows that the song was written to be sung. We got a choir master, it was written to be sung in worship. Then it also writes of the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were descendants of a man named Korah, and they're also the authors of this song. They're the authors of this lyrical worship. We learn about Korah in Numbers 16. Korah was known to have a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. God called Moses to lead and free the Israelites, God's people, out of Egypt. And he had his brother Aaron help him with that. And they're leading them out of Egypt. They have left Egypt. They're now in the wilderness. And they are heading their way to the promised land. But it's taken a long time to get there. And they're eating a lot of manna, which is bread from heaven. Sometimes they get some, I think it was quail. And they're like, man, I'm tired of this. Some Korah. He tries to overthrow and questions the leadership and gets a group of people. What Korah did was sinful, and because of this sinful action towards God's chosen leaders, Moses and his brother Aaron, God has the earth and has fire consume Korah and his followers. However, we know that the sons of Korah did live because they weren't part of their father's rebellion. We know this because of in Numbers 26:11, it literally writes, but the sons of Korah did not die. All right, so we have the descendants of Korah still. And Korah was also a Levite, which means that he was a descendant of Levi, one of Jacob's 12 sons. However, unlike with the Levites, unlike the other tribes of Israel where they got land, the Levites were tasked to lead and help assist the priests, the temple. And their responsibility to take care of the temple and assist the priests. Korah's descendants helped assist the temple and the priests by being musicians of the temple. They're in charge of the music, they're in charge of the worship used in the temple. And then we also see that the heading says, according to Alamoth. Alamoth was not a person, but rather a melody or a pitch that was used to play. Alamoth was believed to be a higher pitch. In 1 Chronicles 15:20, different men were tasked to play different melodies and different pitches to celebrate what God has done. So David, the king of the Israelites during this time, they had the Ark of the Covenant stolen. They recapture it and they celebrate in song. And Alamoth is one of the pitches played to celebrate this recapturing of the Ark of the Covenant. This psalm was also a huge inspiration for Martin Luther to write the famous hymn, Almighty Fortress is Our God. I think it's funny that Alamoth is known to be a higher pitch, but if you ever heard this song, on these old hymns, it goes like this, Almighty Fortress is Our God. I think it's just kind of funny, like it's really deep, but Alamoth is quite high, but Luther, in Luther's darkest moments, Luther would say to his friends, come, let us sing the 46th psalm and let them do their worst. So the enemy, that those against us followers do their worst, because the psalm is a psalm of an encouragement. It's written to encourage you and it's written to strengthen you. With that being said, let's go ahead and read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come. Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. All right, so verse 1, it writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Who is our refuge and strength? God. Who is our very present help in trouble? God. I believe it's so easy for us in times of trouble to find strength from ourselves. We believe in the lies that we are strong enough. The truth is that we are not strong enough, not even close. We are weak. However, those who know Christ as their Savior are filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are given strength through Christ. Christ is our strength, not us. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, Paul, if you don't know who Paul is someone who is God used in a mighty way after Christ's resurrection. He was a persecutor of Christians. God reveals himself to him. He turns his life from persecuting Christians to building the church, going traveling, sharing the gospel, writes letters when he's not traveling and building churches. And he's writing the second letter to the church in Corinth at the time that we have. And he's talking about this thorn in his flesh. We don't know if this thorn in his flesh, that there's some people that believe that maybe Paul had like an eye problem. Maybe he had like bad knees or something. Some people believe maybe it was like a conflict we had with somebody. We do not know, but he's going through a hard time. He describes it as a thorn in his flesh. Then he writes in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, three times I pleaded the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He's talking about the thorn in the flesh. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Church, we are weak. Therefore, we must boast in our weaknesses. Why? Because in our weaknesses, in our brokenness, Christ's strength is showcased more and more. It's not us, it's Christ. Church, I am weak. These words are not from me, but from the Lord. The Lord is speaking through me. My passion is to highlight Christ, and I cannot do this alone. We need Christ. I need Christ. God is the very present help in trouble, and he is the source of our strength. Therefore, through everything we do, we must give him all the glory. Verse 2 continues and writes, therefore, we will not fear though the earth give away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Therefore, when we see this word, therefore, we must ask ourselves, what is this word, therefore? What was written before this verse? All right, so because God is our refuge and strength, because he's a very present help in trouble, we will not fear. Even though the earth may give away or fall apart, even when the mountains move to the hearts of the seas, we will not fear. Why? Because God is in control. He is our refuge and strength. He is the very present help in trouble. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe, and he is with us. He is our provider, protector, and prince of peace. Verse 3 continues, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Verse 3 continues to paint this picture that even when life falls apart, when life gets hard, God is our refuge and strength. And he is our very present help in trouble. And because of this, we will not fear. We will not fear when the waters roar and foam. We will not fear when the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is in control. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the cities of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. This imagery here shows the intimate accessibility of God's presence in the future. One day we will be fully united with God in heaven. One day we will be able to see Christ, his physical body. And we're going to be able to see the scars that were in his hands and his feet from the nails when he was nailed to the cross. This is done because what Christ did on the cross. Because what Christ did on the cross, because of his resurrection, because we put our faith and trust in him, we are able to have a present connection with the Lord in heaven. This is something to be joyful and excited about, that we have eternal life through salvation. We can also see an intentional contrast between seas and rivers here. Seas in our Bible are usually described as a menacing thing. Sometimes there's monsters in it. They crash down on ships and they can break them apart. Verse 3 describes the waters to roar and foam. However, rivers in the Bible are often showcased as sources of life. They flow smoothly and they bring water to the land. God is our source of life, and this is what we have hope for each and every day. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. All right, so it says, God is in the midst of her. This refers to the presence of God in the midst of Jerusalem. God is with his people. Therefore, she shall not be moved. God's people shall not be moved. Even though there's so much brokenness with God's chosen people, back then Jerusalem and now the church, God is still with us. And God, and because of this, the church and the kingdom of God will not be shaken, will not tremble, will not be moved. Therefore, what are we worried about? As long as we are faithful, God is with us, and our fellow believers will not be moved. God, it also says that God will help her when the morning dawns. God is with us each and every day. I'm someone that loves older Christian music. I grew up in the early 2000s, and man, I love like old Christian 2000s rock, like classic Newsboys, Switchfoot, Audio Adrenaline, to name a few. I also love pop punk, believe it or not. I love Christian pop punk, and Reliant K is my favorite band. But I also love the older 2000s worship music. One of my favorite 2000s old worship song is Your Love Never Fails by Jesus Culture. We actually sang this a couple of weeks ago, and I was really excited about it. Like, oh, we're playing this song? Man, I'm so excited. But one of the lyrics of Your Love Never Fails, it writes, there may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Why? Even when we go through pain during the night, we can wake up and have joy. We can do this because God is our protector, is with us. God is with us each and every morning, and he is in control, and his timing is perfect. Verse 6 continues, writes, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The nations rage. The word here, rage, is important. Let's look back at verse 3 where it writes, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. All right, so where it says, though the waters roar, this Hebrew word for roar is hama. Now here in verse 6, the nations rage, so we got roar and rage, they're both the same Hebrew word, hama. This is no accident. What the author is trying to communicate is that whether it's nature that is causing trouble in your life, or whether it's nations in your life causing trouble, he is there. He is there and stronger than any challenge that you may face. The God who has created the universe, who has promised a redeemer to save us after the fall through we have sinned, the same God who has sent the flood to destroy the earth, the same God who made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God who brought plagues over Egypt and freed the Israelites by splitting the Red Sea, the same God that gifted his people the promised land, the same God who sent his son to die on the cross and rise again, is the same God we worship today. The verse continues and says that he utters his voice and the earth melts. Our God's voice can melt the mountains. The same God who uses voice to create the earth, create the universe, can use the same voice to destroy it. God's voice can melt the earth. Therefore, do not worry. Our God can melt the mountains. Our God can melt the nations. God can end any turmoil he wants. Then the psalmist continues. I'm going to read verses 7-9. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Not only can God end any turmoil he wants, but God is also with us. He is our fortress. God has also done mighty works and brings desolations on the earth. God can stop wars. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he burns the chariots with fire. Therefore, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. In these words of encouragement and comfort, we are also given a command. Be still. In other words, relax or calm down. Why? Why do we need to relax and calm down? Why do we need to be still? Because God is under control. God will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. Now, what does being still look practically? There's a contrast between being still and hearing the noise in our life. The noise signifies worldly chaos, such as anxiety, fear, panic, stress. But being still is a deliberate posture of surrender, trust, and rest in God's control. Do you trust God? Are you willing to remove the noise from your life and trust God? Christ, being the Prince of Peace, offers peace to those who put their faith and trust in him. I know this is not an easy thing to do because life is hard. If you're not going through a hard season now, you will be going through a hard season in the future. And you most likely, and you have, gone through hard seasons in the past. And sometimes it's so easy for us to really hear the noise of our life. It's really easy for us to be anxious and be in fear, be stressed. Run to the Lord, and he will give you peace. Verse 11 writes, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. All right, so verse 11 repeats verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In all of Scripture, when something is repeated, it usually means that it's extra important. The author of this psalm really wants the audience to know and those who sing this psalm to know that the Lord of hosts is with us and that the God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the chorus of the psalm. Why is this the case? Repetition emphasizes that despite earthquakes, we see in verse 2, despite mountains shaking, verses 2 to 3, despite waters roaring and foaming, verse 3, the Lord of hosts is with us. Despite trouble or hardships in our life, God is with us. Despite cancer, despite broken relationships, broken families, despite death, despite financial struggles, despite doubt, despite fear, despite anxiety, despite depression, despite sinful destruction in our lives and sinful choices, and the list goes on and on and on. You are not alone. God is near. You are not alone. God is near. Despite trouble or hardships in our life, God is our fortress. A fortress is a large, heavily fortified building or strategic location designed to be defended against attack, often functioning as a castle, citadel, or a secure stronghold. This is what God is to us. He is our protector. He is our fortress. Church, I hope that this psalm encourages you as much as encouraged me. I may be the one on stage. I may be the one with a microphone. I may be the one who's the student director here. But I'm like the rest of the world. I am a sinner. I'm so broken. And I want to have a heart like Paul, who he chooses to boast in his weaknesses, because in his weakness, Christ is made strong. In my weaknesses, I'm going to boast in them until I die, because it's not me, it's Christ. Through him, he has made me strong. I was a sinner and I deserved God's wrath. Why? Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. The penalty or punishment of sin is separation from the Lord. I deserve death. I deserve to be separated from the Lord. But because God is a good God, because God is love, he did not have to save me, but he chose to save me regardless of my sin. He chose to give me mercy and grace that I did not deserve. He did this by sending his son Jesus, who was 100% man, 100% God, and he lived a perfect life, showcased how we were meant to be, how humans are meant to live. We are supposed to reflect who God is. He is holy and he is perfect. His son did not just live a perfect life, but he died on the cross. He was crucified by the Romans. He was given a crown of thorns. He was whipped, he was beaten, he was mocked. And they put him on that tree. The penalty of sin was put on Christ. That penalty that was supposed to be put on me, Christ, our Lord and Savior, put it on himself. And it does not end there, but he rose again 3 days later, so whoever put their faith and trust in him will be saved. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, he made it possible for me to be reunited with him. This is by me choosing to accept the free gift of his son and repenting my sin to him. I chose to recognize I am a sinner, and I do not want to live this way no more. I want to live for Christ. Lord, change me. What Christ did for me, he did for you. What Christ did for me, he did for you. Some of you have never accepted Christ as your Savior. Are you willing to do that today? Tomorrow is not promised. There's an urgency to this. And for those who do know Christ as your Savior, I hope that this psalm has been both an encouragement and a challenge. The encouragement is that when life gets tough, God is with you. God is your refuge and strength. He is your fortress. He is your protector. And the challenge of the psalm is to take those hardships in life to the Lord. When you go through hard things, you have a choice. You can either choose to hear the louder voice, and get stuck in the noise of life. This noise will bring you down. Or you could choose to bring your struggles to God. Be still. Give us things to the Lord. Or are you going to choose? Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this psalm of encouragement. Lord, I pray and ask that you comfort us. Lord, you're the Prince of Peace. And Lord, I ask that you will give us peace each and every day. Even when there may be pain in the night, joy comes in the morning. Lord, life gets tough, and you understand because you took all the sins, all our struggles on the cross. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, help us to just be still. Help us to give that noise to you. Help us to rest in your peace, in your fortress. You are a protector. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.